From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives to the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
Just the joy you get from watching it, like a JV wrestler. Getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. Touchdown, Michigan State wins it in overtime.
Hey, good people. I hope you all had a wonderful Father's Day weekend. Shout out to all of the dads out there. It's June 17th, 2013, and it's time to get back to business. Current Sports is back in your ear with another great show in store for you all, including the U.S. Open, in which Phil Mickelson just can't seem to cut the mustard when it's crunch time. The Detroit Tigers decided not to go with Papa Grande, and you know what? It worked. And we have an epic Stanley Cup Finals going on, while in the NBA Finals, the world's quote-unquote best team is in quite a pickle. We'll update you on all of that and tackle a topic that's steadily getting more and more attention as time moves on. Current Sports starts right now. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. You can be a part of the hands-on discussion each and every day. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports. Or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Hit us up, ladies and gents. We want to hear what's on your mind. Well, before we dive into all of the action that happened over the course of this Father's Day weekend, this week on Current Sports, we will open dialogue about a topic that is recently getting much attention. Now, much of this attention having to do with two specific athletes. Now, one is Jason Collins. Now, for those of you who don't know who Jason Collins is, He's an American professional basketball player in the NBA who currently plays for the Washington Wizards. Now, on April 29th, Jason announced that he was gay, becoming the first active male professional athlete in major North American sports to come out publicly as being gay. Now, Jason received a lot of support from people like Kobe Bryant, even President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama, former President Bill Clinton, and, of course, his sponsorship company, Nike, expressed their support for Jason Collins' decision. Now, the other athlete to come out recently is Robbie Rogers. Now, Robbie is an American professional soccer player who currently plays for the Los Angeles Galaxy. Now, Rogers actually came out and announced that he was gay in February of this year, becoming the first openly gay male athlete to join Major League Soccer. Now, there have been other athletes over the years to come out as either gay or lesbian, such as WNBA star Cheryl Swoops from back in the day, tennis legend Billie Jean King. But what makes the circumstances of Rogers and Collins so unique is that both of these athletes are still active and playing. So, on today's Current Sports and throughout this week, we will have guests to talk about this topic. And today, we have a guest that can actually give us some hands-on insight to the stance of homosexuality in the world of sports today, because he himself has lived it. Don Hubbard actually came out as gay in 1978, just before he ended college at Eastern Michigan University. He ran track and cross country for Eastern and participated in the 1990 Vancouver Gay Games, where he actually won gold. Now, Don is the co-founder of the Rainbow League Bowling, Bowling League out in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in which they are coming up off to their 21st season. So, Don, it's my privilege to welcome you to Current Sports, man.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks a lot, Don. So, Don, first of all, let's take a trip back to 1978 when you first came out as and announced that you were gay. What made you come out then, and why that specific time frame for you?
Well, I think at that point I kind of had a real good grips on who I was. There's just no situations that arose to it. I mean, I was going to school, I was working, I was running for the school, but fortunately, I was able to meet some people who were in theater and stuff, who have to be gay, and that was a real eye opener to me. They were kind of like a fam. I felt like a family, and so that's how I came out and met somebody, and it just everything felt natural. So I'm like, well, here I am. I'm gay.
Right. Now, Don, for you. Well, just looking at this whole thing. Now, back in the 70s and 80s, not much was known about HIV and AIDS, and many dubbed it, quite frankly, as a quote-unquote gay disease. Now, it was not until Magic Johnson, his HIV announcement was made, that people started to open their eyes and say, hey, this isn't just a gay thing. So after coming out, did you ever receive any of that backlash as far as HIV and AIDS were concerned?
No, I mean, it was kind of barely spoken of then. Actually, it took a few years for them to really come to grips of what it was. But no, I mean, I've been, I guess, fortunate in my life. I've not gotten much negative feedback from anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or even heard it from other people. I hear stories from people that have. But, and then dealing with being POS, I, again, was fortunate. My family was very accepting. I had told my mother. Found out later she didn't take it as well as she appeared to take it, but she accepted it with no problem. And there was a family situation where I came out to everybody else all at once.
Mm-hmm.
That was very hard. But inside, my gay friends, I felt, well, they're my family if this family rejects me.
Right.
So I had kind of a backup plan. But knowing my family, I wasn't seeing that. And in fact, the first thing my ex-sister-in-law now said way back then was they knew I had a friend, Chuck. So I guess they put two and two together.
Mm-hmm.
And then her first statement to me was, you must love Chuck very much. I want to have you over for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how my family, they know me as Donnie Hubbard growing up, and they still call me Donnie Hubbard, or now people call me Don Hubbard. And but, yeah, for me, again, I just, even at work, the guys at Running Fit is where I worked, tremendous guys to work for, very supportive. They worked with me, very supportive of everything. So for my end, I've been lucky, I've been blessed that everything has been positive. And I do things with people that are positive. I mean, I've been positive 30 years, on meds for 25 years. So that's a little bit of experience that I can help other people because, people are still being diagnosed.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, they just don't get the gist of safe sex. And in fact, I'm one of two people from way back then, all the people I was in support groups with, they're still around.
Right.
Most of those people have been dead quite a number of years. I guess I got the lucky gene from my mother, but, I do the right things.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Hubbard. Don actually came out as gay in 1978, just before he ended college at Eastern Michigan University, where he ran track and cross country, participated in the 1990 Vancouver Gay Games, actually winning the gold there. And for the listeners out there, of course, who can forget about this moment?
Because of the HIV virus that I have attained, I will have to retire from the Lakers today. I plan on going on living for a long time, bugging you guys like I've always have. So you'll see me around. I plan on being with the Lakers in the league. Hopefully David will have me for a while. And going on with my life.
Now, Don, for you, when you got the news, I mean, when you listened to that Magic Johnson bite, that was a moment where, he had to go in front of the public and let everyone know that he was retiring because he had acquired the HIV virus. Don, when you got the news that you had acquired, that you were positive, just take us through that moment and what was going through your head during that moment.
Well, I got tested. No reason. I just went and got tested, and the guy told me, he said, you're positive. And you're talking like, at that point, it was 87, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really did seem like a death sentence, but, I don't try to get caught up in the negative, I'm always active. I'm always trying to inspire other people, and I just things that keep me going and positive. And
mm-hmm.
so it just never got me down. And with Magic Johnson, when I heard that, I personally didn't understand why he felt he needed to quit playing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe back then people were a little more leery of it, but that was his choice. But you can still do everything if you are positive. You just have to do the right things. I do it real quick. I always say it's a team event. I'm teamwork. Eat right, cut stress, do some exercise. If you smoke, quit. Take your meds. If you do all the right things, again, I've been on meds for 25 years. I am now having my best counts ever, basically normal.
That's great.
So there is hope, if you become positive. There is hope out there. Just, again, do the right things for yourself. Only one person can take care of you, and that's you.
Gotcha. Now, Don, let's look on the sports side of this thing. Now, you ran track over at Eastern Michigan University. Where did your love for running begin?
Well, actually, we had moved from San Diego to Michigan, third grade. We had to go run a 600, which I didn't know what a 600 was. In third grade, I ran a 216, best in the school. Kind of opened my eyes, and then just kind of progressed from there. I had great friends from elementary, junior high, and high school. We all ran together. We did sports together. So that kind of helped, and we all ran track. And then I went to junior high and had a very good career, undefeated. But to me, it's as important as the team because my best friends were running with me. We wanted to win as a team. And then I had a freak running accident my senior year in high school, which kind of hurt my running career, but I went to Eastern Michigan to run. That's where my brother ran.
Mm-hmm.
And I did okay. I had my successes. I ran on some winning relays. And And I ran cross country, so I kind of did that all through college.
Right.
And then after that, it was just running again until I started the front runners. So.
Now, Don, you eventually went on to participate in the Vancouver Gay Games. For those who don't know what that is, explain that to our listeners.
Well, it is mostly sporting events, but it is truly not about your ability. I remember guys in running races that fast walked. It truly is about being there and just participating. And I think you need to go as a participant because you get to march in with your state, everyone from your state. Mm-hmm. The stands are filled with thousands and thousands of people cheering you come in. I mean, there's nothing in life more empowering of you.
Right.
If you don't feel good about yourself being gay, before that, you will after the gay games. And then you meet all these people from all around the world, during the week that you're participating, going to social events, you get to march in with the friends that you've made, and again, the stands are full. The next ones are in Cleveland, actually. Mm-hmm. I believe it's next summer.
Right.
I may be wrong. But that's a local one. Even just to go and watch, if you want to see people from around, gay athletes from around the world. And actually, the Gay Games every year is the most participated sporting event in the world.
Wow, is it?
Yeah, so that's the friend who inspired me, Dewey Ames. He had won a medal in the marathon. He was sort of my springboard. He ran when they were the Gay Olympics, when Tom Wydell, who was an actual Olympian in the Mexico Olympics,
right.
He started them. And then at one point, finally, the Olympic Committee came in and said, oh, no, you can't use that word Olympic. So then they went to the gay games, but then they found out how big it was. Again, the biggest event of the year, sports-wise.
Mm-hmm.
They said then we could use the word Olympic, but by then it was too late. So I'm happy calling it the gay games. But again, if you could go, please go. It's not about your ability, and you will leave so empowered of who you are being gay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Hubbard. Don came out as gay in 1978, just before he ended college at EMU, ran track and cross country, and participated in the Vancouver Gay Games, in which he actually won the gold. So, Don, going back to this subject, and you look at like an athlete like Jason Collins, who has recently come out, and Robbie Rogers in the MLS. There are many out there who believe in the whole, quote-unquote, don't ask, don't tell philosophy. Now, do you agree with that all when it comes to athletes coming out as gay or lesbian or whatever?
Well, my feeling is I need to feel comfortable. And so I like it to be known to whatever team I'm there, I'm gay.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
Because not that I act any differently, but I want to be, you know, it just gives you the more freedom to say what you want. And I don't know. I just think when you have to, quote, stay in the closet, it kind of hinders you. You know, you can't say what you want to people. You may have strong feelings about something, but you can't express yourself. That's part of the reason with the Gay Bowling League is they could be in a comfortable environment and not worry about what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, the whole thing is just exposure. The more exposure the rest of the world gets to how many gay people there are, they're finding out, oh, they're just like us. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why you see so many more things coming out, more athletes coming out. I think it's a tremendous thing for the gay games that to have people coming out. And it seems like most of the teams that these guys are on are very accepting.
Right.
You know, so.
So it's a more of a comfort thing when you look, when you boil boys down.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's like on my job. I mean, they knew everything about me. And you know what? I couldn't have been a better environment. I could actually go talk to my boss. I could say anything to him that I could say to any of my gay friends and feel comfortable. That can't always happen, but again, I want to be me. You know, I'm just a normal guy who's gay.
Right. Now, Don, I got to ask you now, do you think there are still many active athletes right now who are afraid of coming out? And what advice, if they're listening right now, what advice would you give to them?
Oh, goodness. Well, I certainly would like to see more of them coming out. And I think the more that do will make it easier on the ones that are real hesitant about it, because I think a lot of them fear, and everyone always has fear with the coming out, no matter what, that, you know, the team's going to reject them or whatever. And that is a fear, you know, that they have to deal with.
Yeah.
Try to just kind of talk to your teammates, find out kind of where they are on things. You know, you can get a reading on those people. Talk to the management.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I see the more it happens, the easier it's going to be for everybody. And then you, when you do come out, and hopefully you're accepted, and it's not an issue, you're going to feel so much better, and then I believe you're certainly going to compete better. You know, because now you know your team is really behind you, you know.
Right.
Not the shell you where you can't be who you are, but who you are.
Were you surprised at all? Because like I said earlier, I mean, there was a lot of positive feedback when Jason Collins announced that he was gay and came out to the public. I mean, guys like Kobe Bryant endorsed him, countless of other basketball players in the National Basketball Association. The commissioner of the NBA, David Stern, supported him. Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, Bill Clinton. I mean, were you surprised at all of the positive feedback that both Robbie Rogers and Jason Collins received once they came out?
No, not nowadays.
Right.
There's just so much of being gay out there. And I think it's tremendous that, you know, they get the support from, you know, the elite athletes, you know, and elite entertainers are supportive. I mean, we have so many entertainers that support gay people. But mm-hmm. for the sports, you know, if you get the support of the elite athletes, man, that's just got to be a boost to you, man. You know, Kobe Bryant, man, he can accept me. You know, he can feel comfortable with me in the locker room.
Right.
It's. I always said things would change. It's just sometimes you have to give people time to accept it. Because for me, how long did it take me to accept me being gay?
Right.
So you have to give those that don't know it yet a little time to deal with it. But more than that, you know, things will be in the positive.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Hubbard. Don actually came out as gay in 1978, just before he ended college at Eastern Michigan University, where he ran track and cross country. And you're also the co-founder of the Rainbow League Bowling League out in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in which you guys are coming up to your 21st season. Talk about the Rainbow League a little bit, Don, and how did that come about?
Well, our housemate, Jerry Moore, and myself have been bowling in Detroit. I mean, Detroit's had gay leagues. Well, every major city has gay leagues, for those that don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's gay tournaments all during the year, great ways to travel, meet people. But we, you know, we live in Ann Arbor, and we were having to drive into Detroit. Actually, when I started, I had to drive from Ann Arbor to State Fair, which is Woodward, and it's a long drive.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we thought, well, we'll hit Ipsy Arbor Lanes and see if they'd mind us starting a league. We told them about the league, and then finally I said, well, you have to know that it's going to be a gay league, a gay-run league.
Mm-hmm.
And they jumped on it.
Right.
They really, really, really took us in. They gave us whatever we wanted. They just were tremendous for us. You know, other leagues finally learned about us. And then once we started our tournament, which is basically half gay, half straight, I mean, they just, everyone, it's just, we're like a happy community with everybody now.
Right.
So it just, and again, in our league, isn't about your ability. It's about being out on a Wednesday night for a couple hours, being out with new friends, meeting new friends, and bowling and having a good time.
Right, right. So, Don, for those out there listening, if they want to get involved with the gay games or rainbow bowling, how can they do that?
They can go to a2bowling.com. I believe that's one of the sites. I have no problem if they want to call me, or I can give my email address.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's for a lot of people. I'll give you my email address. That's the better way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cubbare46@aol.com. I mean, I can give you any information you need. Sometimes I just tell people, we start the first Wednesday after Labor Day.
Right.
If you're just curious, come early to that, and maybe you'll get hooked into joining. Maybe see some friends that you know that are bowling in it.
Right.
But contact me. I believe the website is a2bowling.com.
A2bowling.com. That's when they can get in touch with you. Gotcha. Yeah. So, Don Hubbard, you came out in 1978, just before you ended college at EMU, ran track and cross country. Now, in light of the whole, with Jason Collins coming out and Robbie Rogers, what do you hope with those two individuals coming out, those two active athletes coming out, what do you hope that message sends to others in the sporting community that are kind of weighing and really, really having difficulty with coming out themselves? What do you hope this does for them?
Well, I hope they, you know, I mean, for them, it's been positive. So hopefully they'll see that, and it will give them the hope and the drive and the will to think, okay, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And just try it. I always say, you know, life is short. I need to be who I am. You need to be who you are. But again, these athletes have come out. It's all been, well, not all positive, but very, very positive for them. And I'm hoping the more they do, the more that will come out. And then pretty soon it won't be a factor.
Right. You know? And Don, I got to ask you, I mean, because you said, like I said, it's not all positive. The feedback's been coming back, but it's been overwhelmingly positive. For those out there who kind of criticize, I mean, why do you need to come out and profess this? You know what I mean? Why can't you just live your life? And if you are, you are. If you're not, you're not. And just kind of go through the motions and keep your mouth shut about it. What do you say to those individuals who think that?
Well, again, education, I just call it education, is the key to people learning. If they don't know gay people, then they're going to hear the stereotypes and stuff. But when they can actually start seeing these gay athletes and so many positive people are following them, again, like Kobe Bryant, once they see that, I just ignore the negative. Mm-hmm. Of course, I've never had that much of it. But, again, the more that come out, you know, you just got to be brave. And the more exposure they get to gay athletes that – oh, they're just like us, then it'll be easier for everybody else, and pretty soon, you know, it won't be a factor of who's gay and who's not gay. But, it, you know, it's a personal choice, but, again, I'd say life is short. You've seen people that have been coming out now as gay, so they have examples, they have role models, sort of, you know, that they can follow.
Right.
Hope that will lead them the path, and that they'll have as positive a path as anybody.
Definitely. All right, well, there you have it. Don Hubbard. Don came out as gay in 1978, just before he entered college at Eastern Michigan University, where he ran track and cross country, participated in the 1990 Vancouver Gay Games, where he actually won gold. Don is co-founder of the Rainbow League Bowling League out in Ann Arbor, in which they are coming up on their 21st season. Don, thanks so much for being a part of the show and engaging in some dialogue on this very touchy topic, man. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad to be there, and I'm glad to put out the word, and hopefully it'll help people.
Thanks a lot, Don. All right, well, when we return to current sports, we'll dive into our current sports section of the show. I want to let you know we'll be taking your calls at 1:40. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics, including this discussion on homosexuals in sports. We want to hear your thoughts. Stay tuned. More current sports is next.
Talk of the Nation provides you with the day's news and more, the experiences and opinions of people around the country and around the world. I'm Neil Conan. When you're looking for the latest news and how it affects you, your family, your neighbors, and your life, turn to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Blocked right back out in front by Crawford for the take by Seabrook. Scaled along to Bowling off his stick. Turned right back over again and led on out for someone. Paye! He scores! Paye! And the Bruins have won it in overtime.
Hey, good people. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. We'll remind you that we'll be taking your calls at 140-517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. You want to hear what's on your mind. We just finished talking to Don Hubbard. Don Hubbard, he's a gay athlete. He actually came out in 1978 when he was running track and cross country for Eastern Michigan University. He actually runs the Rainbow League, Bowling League out in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Really dived into the conversation of homosexuality when it comes to the world of sports. And, of course, Jason Collins, an NBA player who just came out and announced he was gay this year and earlier this year. Robbie Rogers, who's he plays for the LA Galaxy soccer team. And, you know, he's another guy getting a lot of headlines for this. I want to pose a question here at Current Sports. Do you agree with the don't ask, don't tell philosophy when it comes to homosexuality in sports? Or do you feel as though they should come out? I want to hear your thoughts on that. 517-355-9527. Again, do you agree with the don't ask, don't tell philosophy when it comes to homosexuality in the world of sports? Or should athletes just come out and say, hey, you know, and say, hey, I'm gay, I'm lesbian, or whatever, and keep it moving? So we want to hear your thoughts on that. Give us a call. All right, let's dive into today's topics. The U.S. Open. Justin Rose becomes the first Briton to win the U.S. Open in more than 40 years. Yes, Justin really had it going, guys. Now, Phil Mickelson is a guy who really looked good throughout most of the tournament. He was right in the thick of things, and then really just collapsed as the later holes went on that back nine. Phil Mickelson called the loss heartbreaking, and Mickelson's day really kind of started rough. He actually lost his lead with a double bogey on the par 3 third hole, and it was really a roller coaster ride for him in that final round. But Justin Rose, really excited because, like I said, he's the first Briton to win it in 40 years. 40 years. Here's Justin after winning.
I mean, I've been striving my whole life, really, to win a major championship. I've held the putt to win a major championship hundreds of thousands of times on the putting green at home. And, you know, preparing for this tournament, I dream about the moment of having a putt to win. Pretty happy it was a two-incher on the last. But that's, as a professional golfer, I mean, this is the pinnacle of the game, winning major championships. And to win the United States Open Championship is, I guess, in a way, very fitting with how my golf game has been the last couple of years. You know, last year leading greens in regulation, and this year sort of being number one, I think, in total driving coming into the week. I felt like this tournament really began to be on my radar as possibly the one major championship that would suit me the most.
Yes, that was Justin Rose on winning the U.S. Open yesterday. He was unbelievable. Now, Rose, if you look at his career, when he first turned pro just after 1998, get this, he missed his first 21 cuts. And now he's a U.S. Open champ. Now he's projected to move from number 5 to number 3 in the world with Sunday's win. And he has 5 PGA Tour victories as well as 6 on the European Tour. Now Rose made 5 birdies and 5 bogeys through 16 holes. And then really clutch play from Justin Rose as on the brutal 17th and 18th, golfers really struggling all weekend with those two holes, managed to par both of those and go on to win. He really clutch. I mean, because everyone, if you look at this entire weekend, a lot of people predicted this course at Merion just to be really one that you can fly through. I mean, some experts had the winning score being at something like 20 under. Ain't wrong. I mean, Merion really tested these golfers, but especially on that 17th, 18th, I mean, guys were bogeying left and right on there, and Justin Rose really managed to make some clutch pars to really seal the deal. So Mickelson, it was his birthday actually yesterday too, on Father's Day. He says, quote, "This is a tough one to swallow after coming so close." Now, you know, he missed an 8-footer on the 16th. He needed to birdie one of the two remaining holes on the 17th and 18th. Really a tall task, especially since there were no birdies on that final hole all weekend. None. Zero. So, I mean, he was really reaching for the stars on that last hole. But Justin Rose pulls it off. Other guys who really struggled as the tournament went on, Steve Stricker, he shot himself out of the tournament with a front 941. Luke Donald had a 42. They were tied for 8th. Hunter Mahan, who played in the final twosome with Mickelson, he was tied for the lead as late as the 14th hole, but then played the final 4 holes and 4 over to drop into 4th place tie with guys like Ernie Els and Jason Duffner. And Charles Schwartzel, he began the day and shot out of the lead with a 78. That's really bad. Also want to know, Tiger Woods, the number one golfer in the world. He was just terrible. Why did I pick Tiger Woods? Just because he's Tiger Woods, man. But 13 over for Tiger Woods. Now, man, when you look at Tiger, the man hasn't won a major since I was in high school, man, like in 08. And if you tell me right now this Tiger Woods is the same Tiger Woods of back then, this is not the same Tiger Woods, folks. I mean, this guy really is struggling when it comes to majors. He's still, there's been glimpses of the great Tiger Woods we've known in the past, but man, when you look at what happened this past weekend, it makes you question, like, mentally, I don't think Tiger Woods is the same as he was 5 years ago. So Rory McIlroy also finished 14 over. And check this out. When Sergio was, during his rounds throughout the weekend, you know, with the whole fried chicken debacle with Tiger Woods, check out what a fan yelled.
Fried chicken!
Don't choke.
I don't know about you guys. That's pretty funny stuff to me. Yes, when Sergio was just out there in the field, a fan, you know, after the applause, a fan yells out, fried chicken. Hilarious stuff to me. I thought it was hilarious. All right. The Detroit Tigers. The Tigers actually tried something a little different yesterday. Now, the Tigers were leading by 3 runs entering the bottom of the 9th. And they guess who they put in? They put in Joaquin Benoit to continue pitching instead of Jose Valverde. Man, now it was the first time this season that they rested the available Valverde, but he was summoned in the 9th inning to save the opportunity. Benoit retired all 3 hitters in the 9th to finish a 5-2 win. And man, I tell you what, Doug Fister and Torrey Hunter looked great too. They looked really, 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 really good. They topped the Minnesota Twins. They win a series 2-1 to Minnesota, and they decide to not put in Papa Grande, who has this target on his back now. The last time Papa Grande had a save opportunity, he completely blew it. So, also want to note, Doug Fister, he was great yesterday. He took a one-hitter into the 8th inning, and Torrey Hunter got the scoring started with his 300th homer, a 2-run drive in the first. So, interesting stuff. Torrey Hunter has been great. Again, Doug Fister was great as well. Valverde, now he hasn't had a save opportunity, like I just said, since Wednesday when he gave up a tying 2-out homer against Kansas City's Lorenzo Cain. And, he got a lot of flack for that. So the target is on Valverde's back. But Jim Leland says, hey, that doesn't mean, just because they put in Benoit, that doesn't mean that Valverde is completely done. You will not see him as a closer again. They would definitely use him. So he explained why he did it yesterday. Jim Leland said that there had been 3 right-handed hitters coming up. And he said if there had been 3 right-handed hitters coming up, the situation would have been totally different. But he felt as though Benoit had, you know, the better pitching technique for that type of situation. So, all right, moving on. Lansing Catholic. Yes, the Lansing Catholic Cougars, they are the Division III state golf champions. Applause to them. Wow, they are really a special team. They actually topped Jackson Lumen Christie by 5 strokes over the weekend to claim the Division III state title. And senior number one player Jacob Johnson was 5 over after 6 holes, but played played 3 under the rest of the day. And recovered to finish with a 2-over par round of 73. And also want to note that junior Brent Marshall led the Cougars over 2 days, carding a 74 on Saturday to finish 2nd individually with a 2-day score of 147. So congrats to Lansing Catholic. They are the Division III state champions in the game of golf. Vyante Copeland. Vyante Copeland, a running back / defensive back from Dayton, Ohio, went to Thurgood Marshall High School, goes to Thurgood Marshall High School. He became on Sunday the 9th member of Michigan State's 2014 football recruiting class. Copeland, he visited East Lansing during the weekend and picked MSU over Cincinnati, Illinois, Iowa, Louisville, Pittsburgh, West Virginia. Some pretty nice names in that bunch. So he said he's going to be coming to Michigan State. Now he's rated as a 3-star running back by Rivals.com. Though the Spartans were recruiting him as a defensive back. Now he's listed at 6 feet, 186, and he runs a very impressive 40-yard dash of 4.47. So, and, you know, when you look at that 40 time, you got to wonder, man, this guy's got some speed. And, yes, when you look at his background, sporting background, he actually ran track. He actually won the Division II state championship in 400 meters on June 9th. And he's also a part of the state champion 4x200 relay team with his high school. So, yeah, this guy, he runs track. He's got some jets on him. So very interested to see how he does when he joins his Spartan team. All right, and Greg Biffle, he wins the Quicken Loans 400 at MIS, Michigan International Speedway, on Sunday. Delivering Ford its 1,000th NASCAR victory. Check out Biffle after the win.
It was fun racing with those guys. You know, the 29 was coming at the start of that last run there. And then he kind of started to fade, and then the 48 was coming. And so then I stepped it up a notch, just about as run as hard, about as hard as I could. And so I was matching his lap time for lap time. And turn one got really slippery with about six or eight to go. I'm not sure why. And yeah, I don't know exactly what happened to the 48, but I about busted my butt down there a couple times trying to get all I could get. And just super excited for Ford. 1,000th win for them. And
so, yes, that was Greg Biffle. Again, as he just said, his it's delivering Ford. It's their 1,000th NASCAR victory. Greg Biffle wins the Quicken Loans 400 at MIS. Five-time champion Jimmy Johnson was actually chasing down Biffle with three laps to go, but blew a left front tire, fell to 28th place. That's what he would finish. And so congrats to Greg Biffle on that great win. Now, the NBA Finals last night, the San Antonio Spurs defeat the Miami Heat 114-104 in Game 5. Manu Ginobili, really the story of this game, because prior to this game, Manu Ginobili really, he's been absent throughout most of the series. He made his first start since Game 6 of the 2012 Western Conference Finals as far as scoring-wise. I mean, he scored 24 points, 8 of 14 shooting. Ginobili was great, guys. He was something else. I was waiting on the man to wake up and start playing some basketball. Another story, though, maybe even bigger. I would argue to say it's probably bigger than Ginobili. Definitely bigger than Ginobili, to tell you the truth. Danny Green, I mean, he's been unbelievable. Came up huge for the Spurs, scoring 24 points, shooting 6 for 10 from behind the arc. Hit his 25th three-pointer of the series, the most all-time in an NBA Finals series, beating his opponent, who actually held the record previously, Ray Allen. And he set that, Ray set that record back in 2008. Danny Green beats it. And looking at Danny Green, I mean, this guy has been just remarkable. And, you know, and it seems as though in the NBA Finals, you always have this unsung hero that comes out of nowhere. Danny Green is that guy. And looking at the shots that he took, I mean, from behind the arc, looking at that game, I mean, hands were in his face. I mean, coming off screens, not really set. I mean, he just had it. He was in his zone, and he's been in his zone throughout this entire playoff series. So if you look on the other end for the Miami Heat, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade scored 25 for the team, and Ray Allen had 21. But, you know, when you look at LeBron and Dwayne Wade, it was kind of, when you're looking at that game, it was a quiet 25. It's not like, one of the big criticisms I have of LeBron James is he needs to learn how to take over games. And I think when you look at that game last night, there was a situation where it was starting to get out of hand, and LeBron needed to be that guy to say, give me the ball, everybody else get out the way, I'm going to try to take over this game. LeBron didn't do that. If there's any knock on LeBron James that I have, it's that. The man can do it, just about if he wants to do it. So anyway, Game 6 will take place in Miami tomorrow, and Miami is not looking good. I could definitely see them losing this series. If they play like they did last night, they would definitely lose this series. And the Spurs, man, this Spurs team, age ain't nothing but a number, guys. And this Spurs team proves that. So moving on, Stanley Cup Finals, another epic overtime game between the Boston Bruins and the Chicago Blackhawks took place Saturday. The Bruins taking the win this time, 2-1. Daniel Paille, he hit the game-winning goal for the Bruins. And how about Tuukka Rask? I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He's been the best goalie in the playoffs stopping 33 shots on goal. He's been simply amazing. Now, and if you look at this, this is arguably more exciting than the NBA Finals. Yes, I said it, the NHL Finals, to me, I think right now are more exciting than the NBA Finals just because, I mean, you got first two games, both of them going to overtimes, and it's just a back-and-forth boxing match type of series, man, when you look at these guys. And watching Tuukka Rask is an honor and a privilege. He's been special. So now if you look at the history, it's kind of deja vu, because if you remember last year, the first two games of last year's Stanley Cup also went into overtime with the Los Angeles Kings and New Jersey Devils. Los Angeles Kings took a 2-0 lead against New Jersey before going on to defeat the Devils in six games. So exciting stuff, man. You got to watch hockey when it comes to the playoffs and the finals because, I mean, this is some really compelling, exciting stuff. All right, guys. And also Game 3 takes place tonight in Boston. Fun stuff. All right, T.O. T.O., Terrell Owens, former wide receiver in the NFL, he visited Chad Johnson. Chad Johnson, of course, former NFL wide receiver as well. The two used to play with each other back in playing with Cincinnati Bengals. So they were teammates back then. Chad Johnson was sent, of course, to 30 days in jail after he missed his probation assignment. He goes to court to try to rebuttal things and smooth things out with the judge. The judge asks him if he's happy with his attorney. He turns to his attorney and slaps him on the butt. You know how guys do when it comes to athletics, you know, you make a good shot, you know, you get slapped on the butt. It's just sportsmanship. And he did that to his attorney. The entire courtroom erupts in laughter, and the judge didn't like it and sentenced him to 30 days in jail. But breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, he just got released. Judge Kathleen McHugh, who sentenced him to the 30 days, accepted Chad Johnson's apology. Chad Johnson apparently apologized, put a sincere apology out there to the judge, and judge said okay and released him. Good for Chad because, man, I mean, it's just, that's one of those things that you just say, you just shake your head and say, come on, man. But anyway, Terrell Owens, it was a real eye-opening experience for him because T.O., when he visited him, he said, Chad was in good spirits. But although seeing Johnson locked up was, quote, a humbling experience for him. So, Owens shared the details, on his visit through, his Twitter account on Saturday. And he says, quote, I really didn't know what to expect, but to see the homie locked up is a very humbling experience. To talk to him via vid conference, let me know that's not where anyone wants to be. I know he's only in jail, but to someone that's never been locked up, jail is jail. Preach on that, brother. So, Johnson, of course, now he's just like I said, it's breaking news. Johnson has been released from jail now. T.O. went and visited him. Interesting stuff there. Hopefully, just Chad, stop. Whatever. I mean, stop all the shenanigans, man. Just get your life together, brother. I hate seeing Chad Johnson in the mind state that he is right now. But, all right, guys, let's move on. We want to move on to our last segment of current sports. We're going to take your calls about any of the topics discussed today. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Hit me up on Facebook.com/currentsports. Even tweet me a question at Al Martin WKAR. I want to hear what's on your mind. Also, do you think that athletes who are homosexual should come out to the public? Or just do you agree with the whole don't ask, don't tell thing? I want to hear your thoughts on that. More current sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, an untold story from World War II. Thousands of American soldiers deserted the front lines. Journalist Charles Glass says most served bravely in combat before leaving their units.
Those soldiers who fought continuously and were never rotated out of the front lines simply were under so much pressure for so long that they cracked.
Glass's book is The Deserters. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's that time we hear from you. That's right. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind. I do believe we have a caller on line one. Hello.
How's it going, bud?
Pretty good. Who is this?
This is Colin.
Colin, how you doing, Colin? What's on your mind, man?
Doing really good. I just wanted to comment on your topic from earlier.
Yeah.
I totally disagree with the don't ask, don't tell policy in sports.
Gotcha.
I just think, you know, if you think about it, don't ask, don't tell, that started by the military, not sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think athletes can, they definitely should come out. It could only help to show how diverse sports really are. You know, it's not just about race. It's not all just one race, one sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But there's one thing. I think that this can't really be effective until a big name comes out. I mean, no disrespect, but
right.
I like soccer, but I've never, ever watched an MLS game. I don't even know where I do that. I think you have to get, like, a special package on Comcast or something. And also, Jason Collins, I've never heard of him until he came out.
Right. So yeah, you feel as though it won't be effective until a big name in the sporting world in North American sports comes out.
A relevant name, yes, a relevant name and a relevant sport, just one of the big four, you know.
Gotcha. So, Colin, I got to ask you. So when you talk about coming out and expressing your sexual orientation as an athlete, and you do agree with it,
yep.
Right? I'm just making sure you do agree with it. What effect do you hope that has on sporting culture?
So like I said, buddy, just show how diverse it is, you know? Like when I say that, I mean, you know, basketball, football, baseball. Like you said earlier, you talked about how there's not that many African-Americans in baseball. I just think that, you know, that could help to show, dispel any myths, you know?
Right.
That there is a presence in the homosexual community in American sports. It's not just, you know, you don't have to be manly to play sports. It's for everyone. You don't have to be from a certain cultural background. It's for anyone and everyone.
Thanks a lot, Colin. Really appreciate the call, man.
No problem, bud.
All right, guys. Well, very interesting. Well, I'm actually joined right now. It's Pick'em Mondays, guys. So I'm joined by my production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke, and also my intern, Mike Corey. They're here with me right now. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
On just gay athletes coming out or,
yeah, so should,
or don't
you,
ask,
do you guys
don't tell?
Agree in the whole don't ask, don't tell thing? Or?
Well, I think it might be a case-by-case basis. I mean, obviously, if you're comfortable coming out, I don't think you should be, you know, reticent to do that for any reason outside of your own personal, you know, how you feel. Don't ask, don't tell seems very antiquated, and I think we're moving in a direction where that's going to be gone
yeah.
in the rearview mirror in, you know, a decade or so. So I think that's moving out of the cultural consciousness, and I think, you know, coming out, and like he said, it needs to be a star player. It doesn't have to be, you know, Jason Collins, yeah, he's an active player, but
right.
no one has, he's not signed with anyone right now. He's looking for a deal to stay in the league. And
exactly.
Some people are saying he came out just to kind of maybe get himself another contract. You need a guy who's starting out at the you know, outset of his career, you know, ascending to stardom, and that's going to be the guy who changes kind
yeah.
of the landscape as far as...
Yeah, I agree, because I think that's going to be more impactful. I mean, a star athlete is going to be able to reach more more individuals and fans out there of sports. And I think, in all honesty, I mean, when you talk about a big-time athlete coming out and announcing that they're gay or homosexual or whatever... That would make people more feel more comfortable who's out there who are struggling with that decision. So,
yeah, no, I totally agree with Matt. And the bigger question is, how far will this go? Does it have to be separate locker rooms? Like, I'm sure we'll talk about this on Wednesday. Does
yeah.
it have to be, you know, a separation with players? Would you be scared to guard someone in a game because of that fact? So, I mean, I think there's no way you can do a don't ask, don't tell. But the question now is, how far will this eventually go?
Right. And we're definitely going to dive in that on Wednesday. And all right, guys, we don't have much time, so let's get into Pick'em Mondays. Mike, you have the I'm probably like in last place right now. But you have the standings right now, right?
Yes.
But,
the current standings after last week's action, Matt currently leads the standings with 18 points.
Oh man, he's stunting on us.
Yep, I follow after with 13. Then Al, you have 12. You're right there.
Okay, I'm in the thick of things. Okay.
And then Alex is way far back with 4.
Hey, I've got insurance.
4 points. I thought you, when we talked earlier, I didn't know it was that bad. Four points.
I've got a little bit of a handicap. Some insurance. My insurance card is right here. So here you go.
We got 2 weeks left in the month.
Yeah,
you got time.
Yeah, more time to rally up the troops. You know,
plenty of time.
All right, what do we got this week, man?
All right, we'll start off with the Tigers and Orioles. They start off a 3-game series with Scherzer versus Jake Arrieta. And when we start with Matt, the leader.
I hate going first because, you know, strategically I want to wait till you guys pick so I can,
I can just
hop on all of you guys and not lose any points here. Tigers, I'm going to take the Tigers 2-1.
All right. I'll go Tigers 2-1 too since I have not called anything right. Looks like you guys are the smarter ones.
I'm going with Tigers 2-1.
Yeah, I was looking at the how this happened last time they faced, and it was the Orioles who went 2-1. I think now with them at Tigers at home this time, I also go with Tigers 2-1.
Gotcha. All right, what's next, man?
That's the Red Sox versus Tigers, and they got a 4-game series coming up against the Red Sox.
Oh.
That'll take place later this week. So, Matt?
I'm going to go split. I think it's going to be 2-2.
All right, I'm going to go Tigers 3-1.
Out.
Tigers 3-1.
And yeah, I'll also go. I'm gonna go split just because I know I'm gaining up on Matt, but I think it's
just to be safe.
Just to be safe on this one because it can go either way. I was leaning towards Boston 3-1, but I'm gonna go with Tiger or the split.
Gotcha. All right. What else we got?
The NBA Finals Game 6. We've been talking about this, you know, all day. From the previous Game 5, and I'll start off this time. And I'm going to pick the upset. I'm going to go with the Spurs away to the win the finals and win Game 6.
Wow. That is very bold. Who you got, Matt?
I have to go with Miami. It seems like it's been destined for 7 games since the start of the series. It keeps alternating victories. No back-to-back wins or losses for the Heat in forever.
Right.
So I think
it's a boxing match, yeah.
I think we're going to go Heat in Game 6 and then who knows in Game 7.
The Heat is on, baby. Heat in 6.
I was going with the Heat. I'm also going with the Heat. Like Matt said, the Heat after they respond very good after losing.
Yep.
And
they do.
Yeah, it's been times. It's been win loss for them. So you know, pattern repeats
itself.
Like
a boxing match. Yeah.
I don't see their pattern happening. No. I do not see. I think the Spurs will take it.
We will see. All right. What else we got?
All right. The NHL Finals Game 3 takes place tonight. I'll start off again. I'll take Boston at home because they've been just amazing at home. And again, Tuukka Rask is amazing.
I agree. I'm going with Boston as well. And, you know, I also wanted to note this, too. I mean, this is great for the city of Boston right now.
Yep.
Just seeing Boston in the Stanley Cup Finals and seeing how they're performing right now with the whole tragedy that happened at the Marathon. This is great for them. I'm going with Boston, though.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this series has been even with the two overtime games. I think it's going to be Boston in Game 3, just mostly because I can't live with myself if I'm rooting for Chicago, kind of, to win for my pick's sake. So I'm going to take Boston just for my conscience.
Yeah, and what a disappointment when the Celtics didn't beat the Knicks. They couldn't move on, especially because that was right after that tragedy happened.
Yeah, it was.
But I'm going to go on the limb, get some points back, and go with Chicago.
Gotcha. All right. You got anything else?
We'll go. I'll go skip a couple and go a big name just so we can get to the trivia question really quickly.
I don't know if we're going to be able to squeeze that in.
All right,
we might have to save the trivia question, folks.
So, NASCAR's President's Cup Series.
I don't know.
For big points. Big points.
Big points.
I'll start off. I'm going to take Jimmy Johnson to win it, who won the event 3 years ago.
I ain't even thought about this one.
I was almost going to take Jimmy Johnson, but for the sake of, you know, some drama, I'm going to take Martin Truex Jr. Remember the name, guys. Next Monday.
Go ahead, Alex. Who you got, man?
Let's go with Kevin Harvick.
Kevin Harvick.
These are some informed choices here.
These are very informed. I'm going with Jimmy just because Jimmy... he's been the hottest man so far this season, so I'm going to go with Jimmy.
Daytona 500 winner, so.
Yeah, exactly. Going with Jimmy. All right, guys, we got to get out of here. Jam-packed. We're going to finish those picks We'll finish those picks tomorrow. I'll update the folks on who you guys had and whatnot. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, the production assistants. Intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Don Hubbard for giving us great insight on homosexuality in the world of sports. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, be easy, people.